churches that would love to have that in their congregation. Isn't that neat? Thank you, moms and dads, for faithfulness in raising these kids and bringing them to the house of the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for a church body who loves you, who's thrilled to gather in your presence. I watch the faces as they come through the doors and out of the parking lot. And the highlight of their day is coming into this house to honor you, to celebrate your salvation, to give praise to you and to hear you, Father. Thank you for such a loving and caring body. Father, I can only imagine that some in the room have some heaviness in their lives today. Father, would you be the lifter of that burden that they bear? Would you come close to them, Father, and speak to them? Father, I pray that you will always call us to you in those times that do get heavy in this life. Now, Father, as we finish this teaching on this passage of James where we've been the last few weeks, Satan, I want to bind you in the name of Jesus Christ, especially from this morning. You are defeated. My Lord has conquered you. He has bruised your head. And in the name of Jesus, I bind you from this place. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're finishing a study from James 4, 7b. B would be the last part of that verse on resisting the devil. And so this teaching this morning is the third that we have taken from these last nine words. Those nine words are resist the devil and he will flee from you. And folks, I want you to know this has been a challenging 3 weeks for me. It seems like every time I turn around, there's something that just smashes me right in the face. And so that's okay, because I know that we are over the target as we share what the Lord has given us in this word, in these nine words. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you incorporate that into your life as a practice, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You will find that many of the issues that cause you such duress in your life will fade away. Because this word is true. If we resist the devil in the name of Jesus Christ, he has to flee. And I pray you'll begin to utilize that in your life. God's word clearly teaches that Satan is an enemy of God. And his mission is to kill, steal, and destroy. So this morning, what we're going to look at from this passage is an issue that you may or may not be aware of. It's called strongholds. Strongholds. Strongholds compromise the lives of believers. Strongholds prevent the lost from believing on Christ. You may have never heard of this concept before, but it's an issue in virtually every life at some time, no doubt. So what we're going to look at this morning are strongholds described, then we're going to look at strongholds developed, and finally, strongholds destroyed. A stronghold is a strategy of Satan that blinds, binds, and compromises worship, prayer, and believing God. Now, let me get down to where we live, if I may. And this is going to sting in a couple of places. But I want to give you not a complete list, because that list goes on. But I want to share with you some examples of strongholds. If they apply in your life, I'm not picking on you this morning. I'm trying to show you that you can be released from these. But some examples of, strongholds include moral impurity, lust, adultery, fornication, addiction to pornography, homosexuality, addictions to drugs, alcohol, and other harmful substances, gluttony, perverted vulgar speech, anger, hatred, jealousy, depression, unforgiveness, lying, gossip, dishonesty, coveting, arrogance, and that list goes on. Now, I don't know if I rang a bell in your mind this morning as I went through these, but these are strongholds that Satan uses to not only keep the lost bound in these, but also Christians can fall victim to strongholds as well. I'll flesh that out as we go along. So a stronghold is any prevailing action that God considers to be sin. Any prevailing action that God considers to be sin. And what we do, folks, what we do reflects who we worship. If we could get a hold of that in our mind, folks, what we do, we're doing for some reason. And sometimes that's a stronghold, but if there's a stronghold in our life, folks, we cannot worship the God of this universe. Strongholds rob believers of fellowship with God. What that means is when fellowship with God is broken, you don't pray, and when you do, He doesn't hear. We have to be in fellowship with Him. Now, I didn't say relationship. Relationship is sealed by Him, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to salvation, you are born again. But these things of strongholds can develop even in a believer's life. And when we do, fellowship with God is broken. Not relationship. That's sealed by Him. But fellowship. Fellowship means when He speaks, I hear and I listen and hear. And when I speak, He hears and listens and hears. There is communication when we're in fellowship. But strongholds rob believers of fellowship. Strongholds prevent worship. Stronghold prevents communication with God, as in prayer and hearing from Him. And strongholds prevent fellowship with Him, but also God's blessings are quenched in our lives because God does not bless disobedience. If we could get any truth at all this morning, if we could come away with that, God does not bless disobedience. Is there anyone in here who does not want God to bless your life? I don't see a hand. Folks, you're in a strange place if that's the case. We want God's blessings on our life. We need God's blessings on our life. And God wants to bless us. But folks, when there is a stronghold in our life, God's blessings are not going to be on our life, because He's not going to reinforce that which we're practicing. When strongholds exist, the abundant life doesn't. When we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He gave us eternal life and He gave us abundant life. Abundant life is all that you need in every area and then more to give away. But when strongholds exist in our life, abundant life doesn't. Strongholds keep a person from obeying God, from serving God, because we get involved with the stronghold and it quenches the Holy Spirit, so we have no power to minister. And also the want to is quenched as well. Strongholds keep a person from obeying and serving God. Strongholds make prayer impossible. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. May I say that again? Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You see, just because we pray doesn't mean that He has to hear. because he can only hear that which is coming from a heart that is repentant, a heart that has confessed sin, so that that fellowship with him is in place. Strongholds compromise and confuse our witness. You've been around these folks, and they're carrying a Bible maybe and wearing a big cross around their neck. If you're doing that, I'm not talking to you, okay? And those kind of things, and all those outward things. But you know their life. You know what they do. You know how they talk and all those things. And folks, that any witness they're trying to portray by carrying their Bible and wearing a cross is compromised. Strongholds can only be torn down by God's intervention. You can't try harder. You can't work on it. You can't set New Year's resolutions. Strongholds can only be torn down through God's intervention. Listen to 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5. This passage says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What that means, not of the flesh. Not as you want to and you try harder and all those kind of things. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. Well, I'd like to know what those weapons are, wouldn't you? Our weapons are, first of all, the Word of God, and then prayer, and then the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit cannot be quenched in our life if we're going to be dealing with these strongholds, and strongholds quench the Holy Spirit. A person with a stronghold, according to 2 Timothy 3:5, has the appearance of godliness but denies its power. Having the appearance of godliness, you go to church, you have all kinds of things that would say, well, there's a godly person. But listen to what Paul said again in 2 Timothy. A person with a stronghold has the appearance of godliness but denies the power. There's no power in your life if there's a stronghold that keeps you bound. You try to pray and you can't. You pray and nothing happens. You try to witness to somebody and they mock you and laugh at you, and you turn and run. Appearances such as going to church when it's convenient, joining a church, doing good stuff, all of these are appearances, religious appearances. But folks, the continual habitual practice of a person's life is the evidence of whether they are born again and not just playing some religious game. You see, God knows the pretenders from the contenders. A pretender is somebody that's just playing church, just going through the motions. Maybe it helps them out on the job. Maybe it gives a better face in the community or whatever other reason might come up. But I want you to know this morning that the continual habitual practice of a person's life is the evidence of whether they are just religious or whether they're born again. And God knows the pretenders from the contenders. 1 John 3:9 says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. You hear that? No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him. That means God's seed abides in you if you're in Christ Jesus, and you cannot make a practice of sinning if you're truly born again. He cannot go on sinning, John continues. He cannot go on sinning because he's been born of God. It's an impossibility for a true child of God to practice sin. That is an impossibility, according to this passage that we just read. John MacArthur, who I've listened to through the years, who's in heaven today, MacArthur said, though, and this caught me up this week as I came across this, he said, a believer can indeed struggle with sin and even strongholds. And I thought, did I get the right John MacArthur? And I read it again and again, and I meditated on that, and I And I searched and I looked. And if you go over to Romans 7, verses 13 through 25, we won't read all of those. And 2 Corinthians 10:35, validate what Dr. MacArthur was saying there. A believer can indeed struggle with sin and even have strongholds in their life. But if a person is truly born again, they are grieved. They are grieved to the core of their being if there's a stronghold in their life. There is no joy. There is no satisfaction. A true believer cannot practice habitual sin and refuse to call it sin and refuse to repent of it. That person is lost. But if the person has a stronghold, as MacArthur's talking about there, a person who's truly born again, it grieves you. I mean, it just always a burden, a heaviness, a sorrow in your life, and you can't get over it. The reason for that is because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And if you try to practice sin in the context of the Holy Spirit, He is not going to give you the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, gentleness, meekness, kindness. Those are all, and you are just miserable. And I pray this morning, if there is a stronghold in your life this morning, I pray you're miserable. I agree with God on that. I pray that you can't sleep at night. I pray that everything that you try to do or think of doesn't work. You say, well, that's not being very nice. Folks, I don't mean to be nice. But I want to show you this morning that you can be released from these strongholds that keep you bound, that conflict your testimony of Christ Jesus, and that thwart anything that you're trying to do that would advance the gospel. Folks, strongholds have to be dealt with if you're a child of God. Again, a stronghold is an action, an attitude, a habit, or a practice that controls a person's thoughts and actions. It's those things that you're addicted to, I guess you could say. I'm going to let you fill in all these blanks today. I'm not going to provide you a list, but the Holy Spirit, if you're in Christ Jesus, is already touching your heart if there's a stronghold in your life. A true believer who lives with a stronghold will be convicted, corrected, chastised, and live without God's power and peace in their life. If that describes you this morning, there's a stronghold. And if there is a stronghold, you already know what it is. Again, I'm not going to fill in the blanks for you. Because if you're in Christ Jesus, He's already pointing that stronghold out in your life right now, isn't He? And you know what it is. God responds to strongholds in believers' lives by withholding His joy and peace and assurance and blessings. If you want God's blessing in your life, you're going to have to deal with the strongholds in your life. Because God does not bless disobedience. God chastens those who are His. Let me read in verses... refer to John 5:16 and then 1 Corinthians 11:30. God chastens those who are His. He does not hear those who regard iniquity in their hearts. And that passage in 1 Corinthians 11:30 is chilling. He possibly even brings premature death to the child of God who doesn't deal with the strongholds in their life. Now, folks, that's not a comfortable thought, is it? But if He keeps calling you away from that stronghold that's in your life, whatever it is, that list we read, and He keeps calling you out of that, and you keep resisting and resisting and resisting, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, that can even bring about premature death. Chilling. Now stay awake. God also has a stronghold. God has a stronghold. He has a stronghold of love. That's His stronghold. Because God is love. Now, if you're going to have a stronghold, I would encourage you to adopt his stronghold. A stronghold controls and dictates. A stronghold is what we spend our time thinking about and wanting to do and enjoying what we're doing, all those kind of descriptors. But folks, if you have a stronghold of love as God has, that's all you're thinking about is love. God's kind of love, agape love. If our stronghold is not love, it's probably because we have other strongholds in our life. And those other strongholds quench the spirit. Question at this point. Is there anything that you would not give up this morning or stop doing if God asked you to? Is there anything that you would not give up this morning, or is there anything that you would not stop doing if he asked you to or convicted you to? Folks, that's a question that we're going to have to deal with in a very serious manner. Because if our answer is, no, I'm hanging on to this, he's coming for it or he's coming for you. Stern words, tough words. I struggled with this all week. I mean, the resistance that was covering me through this week, I can't describe to you. But folks, it's necessary that we deal with this issue of strongholds in our lives. Second this morning, strongholds developed. Thoughts lead to desires. Desires lead to habits. Habits become strongholds. That's how a stronghold develops in our lives. A stronghold is perpetually yielding to something God considers to be sin. And when there is sin in our life, fellowship with God is quenched. And when fellowship with God is quenched, you don't want to read His Word. You can't pray. You're just miserable if you're in Christ. Now, if you're here this morning and you're yet to believe, I would imagine you've got a truckload of strongholds. I imagine there's all kind of stuff that's messing up your life. I read about them in the paper every day, don't you? All that is, folks, all of this wickedness that goes on is simply people practicing their strongholds. Hatred, so they shoot somebody. They don't have the drugs, so they go steal them. And on it goes. A stronghold controls the life of the person who has it. And if you have a stronghold and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you cannot fellowship with God. You don't read His Word, you don't want to read His Word. You can't pray and you don't want to pray. Now, folks, it's a serious thing to maintain a stronghold in your life that God is convicting you of. Strongholds develop because a person does not take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If you want to make it impossible for yourself to have a stronghold, and we can do that, then every thought, take it captive. That's what the Word says. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. When we capture that thought that would lead to a stronghold developing, perhaps, if we take that thought captive in its infancy and we resist the devil doing it, then that stronghold is not going to develop in our lives. When we don't live denying self and dying to self and following Christ, strongholds are going to develop. If Christ is not our stronghold, self and self-focused activities will become our stronghold. So you see, if we practice and walk in lordship, when you came to Jesus Christ, you came to Him as Lord and Savior. You didn't come to Him just as Savior. He is your Lord and Savior. And what happens with these strongholds in believers' lives is that person doesn't take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, And that thought then becomes a desire, and that desire becomes a habit, and then that habit develops into a stronghold. Christ followers whose stronghold is Christ pray without ceasing, hide His word in their hearts, fellowship with the saints, and minister to those in need. Finally, this morning, strongholds destroyed. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5. Let me read beyond what I read just a while ago. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. That means you can't get a self-help book, and that'll solve it. That means you're going to try harder. That's not going to work. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That's how you tear down a stronghold. That's how you prevent a stronghold from taking root in your life. The weapons of our warfare are the only means that we have for dealing with strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. That means you can't do it by yourself, but have divine power, the power of God, and the power of God applied in our lives will destroy any stronghold. We are commanded to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, aren't we? You see, thoughts breed strongholds. If we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, we don't let that thought take root. But when that thought takes root, then we begin to meditate on it and chew on it, and we just get worked up about it, and then we just continues until it's who we are, a stronghold. This morning, if you're living with a stronghold in your life, you have concluded that that stronghold is more precious than the abundant life in Christ Jesus. That's what He promises, that we might have life and have it more abundantly, right? And you can never have the abundant life if there is a stronghold controlling your life. An individual who clings to and demands to maintain a stronghold lacks the evidence to support that they're a true Christ follower. That's where we have to go back to, folks. If there is some stronghold in your life, you need to revisit the cross. Was there a time when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ into salvation? Or are you just a lost person playing church? You see, it's an absolute. You have either been born again or you haven't. And so before you try to start breaking strongholds in your life, you need to revisit the cross. Am I a true follower of Christ Jesus? And don't answer that. You let Him answer it for you. And He will answer it for you by a peace that passes understanding. And He will take you to His word, and He will give the assurance to you from His word that you're a follower of Christ Jesus. Know that if there are strongholds in your life, and you are a Christ follower, God will tear those down in your life, or He will take you home to be with Him. So parents, I want to call you out this morning. Pray for your kids. Pray for them in this way. Lord, shield my children from a stronghold. Did you ever see a little one that just wanted to throw fits all the time? Okay? Probably not, especially not yours, I know, okay? Or you see those kids at young ages that develop these horrible habits and patterns. Why is that? Well, I would submit to you, it can be a stronghold. That's what parenting's all about, isn't it? So pray for your kids and watch their lives. And to watch their lives, you've got to be around your kids. You can't farm them out all the time. God gave them to you for you to raise. And you have to spend the time with them and mold their lives. And sometimes you don't feel like it. Sometimes you've got more important things than you think. Folks, take the time to mold your kids' lives in a God-fearing way. Pray for your kids. And pray for the people that God has put into your lives regarding the strongholds that exist in their life. Watch them and watch what they do and how they talk and all those kind of things. And folks, God puts you in that person's life so that you could speak into their life about the stronghold that if it's not torn down in the life of a lost person, is going to send that person to hell. If that person is in Christ Jesus, challenge them at the point of it. Joe, are you a follower of Christ? Yes. Then can you explain to me why you're doing this? You say, well, that's not polite. Folks, in this game, there's no polite. In this game, there is confrontation, calling each other out. And folks, if God has allowed a person to come into your path, into your life, and there's a stronghold, and he or she professes to be a follower of Christ, call them out. How can you continue to practice and do this if you say you're a follower of Christ? Good news, finally. Legions of people have been delivered from drugs and alcohol and pornography and addictions and sinful behaviors of every kind. God has delivered multitudes. He can deliver you this morning if this applies to your life. So how do you know when a stronghold has been torn down? There's this repeater thing that goes on. You stop doing whatever the stronghold is, and it comes back. How do you know when a stronghold has been torn down? A stronghold has been torn down when you no longer think about it or think about doing it. When you cease to crave to do it. When the temptation is gone. And when you hate the stronghold that once controlled your life. When that describes your life, the stronghold has been broken. Oh, I pray that you gain that victory if this applies this morning. The best way to deal with a stronghold is to not let a stronghold develop. Because you see, every stronghold began in every person's life with a thought. Now, if we take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ, it snuffs it out. In its infancy, it's not going to grow. But if you pay attention to it, if you try it, a little won't hurt, that stronghold is going to grow in your life and develop and mature, and it's going to control your life. So we must guard our heart and mind and take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The scripture admonishes, think on these things. Things that are not of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Give to God what He gave to you. He gave up that which was most precious to Him, didn't He? His Son. God demands that His followers, we give up that which is precious to us if that which is precious is a stronghold. We replicate what God does. We give up that thing that may be precious in our life. Because we're a follower of Christ Jesus. Folks, you cannot fellowship with God if there's a stronghold in your life. That passage in Psalm 66, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So this morning I implore us, is there a stronghold in your life? Tear it down. Begin today to tear it down. Don't let it linger another moment. Walk away from it. Get rid of it in your life. And I promise you, folks, if it's a true stronghold, it's going to hurt. And you're going to go walk out of this church cussing the preacher. But I want to tell you, if you want to experience the abundant life in Christ Jesus, there can be no strongholds in your life. You will have peace that passes understanding. And you will have a new outlook on everything. Because that abundant life that He's promised you is present. You've been quenching it with the stronghold. And I call on us today from this passage that we come to. I didn't plan on this. It's just the next one up. But I call on you today to listen to Him. And if He's pointing out a stronghold in your life, whatever that may be, and He'll tell you what it is, then please, please, as a follower of Christ, make sure that next week that stronghold is no more. Let's pray. Father, probably one of the more difficult passages that we've looked at. But Lord, it's Your word. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And Father, I know that uncertainty that exists. If a person is practicing sin, is it a stronghold, or are they just a lost person doing what lost people do? Father, only You can discern there. But Father, I know the possibility for believers developing strongholds. And I believe that You have given us Your word this morning that we would tear down those strongholds in our lives. So come close, Father, to each individual to whom this applies. Holy Spirit, speak directly to the hearts of those this morning who have strongholds in their lives. And call them out, I pray, Father. So, Lord, thank You for Your word, especially the hard parts of Your word. Especially those that sting and hurt. Because, Father, You gave us Your word to direct our paths, to teach us, to guide us into all truth. I pray we'd have ears to hear this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.